be careful. If you would please turn with me in your Bible, we will be in the book of Exodus. Exodus is in the First Testament, the Old Testament. The First Testament is Genesis. Second book is Exodus, and we'll be in chapter 15. If you will please turn with me to 15th chapter of Exodus, we'll begin reading at verse 22 through 26. And if you can please stand with me as we honor God's word this morning, we will be in Exodus chapter 15. That's the 15th chapter of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 22 through 26. And it reads, "Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Morah, they could not drink the water of Morah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Morah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. And there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, for all that you have already done for us, and for all that you will do for us. Father, we thank you for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I ask that you create in us a desire to know you more fully and to magnify your majesty more perfectly. For we are sinners in need of your salvation, and you take great pleasure in providing that salvation because you are a good God. No, you are a great God. You are a holy God, and you are a blessed God. And we magnify you, and we proclaim your name throughout all the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I went back and forth because I was like, what should we do today? I know there's a lot of churches that have canceled. And I was saying, you know, well, we can live stream and we can still congregate and try to do our best to honor the word of God, but also be diligent to protect God's people. And I think that during these times, people get uneased. They get a little bit worried or scared, and they don't know what's going to happen because they don't know the future. It's like the people of Israel, in that sense, walking in a desert, walking in a wilderness. And we are in this wilderness, and we don't know, and we can't see. And we feel like we're in this dry and this barren land with chaos all around. But it is in those moments that we must trust God. It is in these moments where we must turn to God and trust in him. And I think that God is really showing us through this and asking us, in whom do you trust? To whom do you turn? To where is your faith going to lie? I'm reminded of the book of Job. In the book of Job, we have a man that had his entire life upended, sort of like how we're having our lives this week, this month, right now, kind of upended. His entire family was wiped out. He himself bore pestilence. He had boils. He had illness throughout his body. And he said something that I find very, very interesting. He said that He says that from the days from his mother's womb, all he had was trouble. He says, man is but a few days born from the mother, and he is already full of trouble. Think about that, right? I mean, you know, he says, as soon as you come out of your mother's womb, as soon as you are born into trouble. Now, I have five kids, so I know a little bit about babies being born and being troublemakers. You know, the children can be troublemakers. But, you know, as we get older, we get into even more trouble. But then Job says something else. He says later on, he says that though he slay me, though he inflicts me, though I go through so many difficulties in life, though the storms of life come my way, yet will I trust him. He's saying that no matter what happens to me, I will trust in God. Now, just because we're going through tough times, it doesn't mean that God is against us, but rather through the tough times is when God is with us. Sometimes we think that when we're going through something difficult, some passage in life, some difficult time, we think that means that something that God has something against us. It means that God must hate me or something. But I'm here to tell you that is just not the case. No matter what may come your way, no matter what the world would try to throw at you, what your trouble may be, whether it's some type of sickness or whether it's financial or whether it's your husband or your wife or your children, or maybe it's your SATs that you worry about, no matter what the trouble is, God's got you. He has you. He has you in his hands. He has you in his heart, and he will never, ever, ever fail. He will never let you go. I'm here to tell you that God is on your side. He has your back. And you know what? It's as simple as that. No matter what may happen, no matter what comes your way, God is in control. So look with me as we look at the book of Exodus. And I think this passage right here really helps explain that. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, we read, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. And they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And verse 23 says, when they came to Morah, they could not drink the water of Morah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Morah. Now, the word Morah can be translated as bitterness. In verse 23, that word is translated as bitterness. So the scripture basically reads, and when they came to bitterness, when they came to a bitter place, how many of you guys have ever come to bitterness in your life? How many of you ever came to the waters of bitterness? Well, let me tell you something. That's not where these verses end. You see, what's going on in these verses in the book of Exodus is that it's a transitional book. What I mean by that is it takes you from one place to another. In this chapter right here, the people of Israel are moving from a place of bondage to a place of blessing. You see, God has and he has moved them in the book of Exodus to the promised land when it was in bondage in Egypt. He's taking them from Egypt to Canaan. And God is building his people up. Exodus is a traveling book. It's a preparation book. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, the people are at the end of their time in the wilderness, and they're about to walk into the promised land, and Joshua is going to lead them promised land. But in the book of Exodus, they are right in the thick of it. They're right in the toughest part of their journey. And God is trying to build them up. He's toughening them up. He's preparing them because he says that you're not ready to receive the blessing that I have for you. So I have to prepare you for that blessing. I have to take you through the wilderness. You see, the book of Exodus is sort of like our walk with God as well, in a sense of when we receive God's salvation, that, you know, we get the miracle and we're washed and we're cleansed and the parting of the Red Sea, and then we love the salvation part, but then there's this other part that we don't like, that wilderness part, and that's the sanctification part. That's the discipline. That's the discipling part. You see, God takes us from salvation to sanctification so he can bring us to glorification. You see, we want to jump from salvation straight to glorification. We want to go from being baptized to walking in heaven with Christ. But he's saying, you still got some work here to do on earth. And on earth, there's going to be some tough times. But guess what? I'm going to be with you through those tough times. You see, we got to go through the problems before we can get to the promise. You see, the promise is heaven, but we have problems here on earth. And God is saying that the problem shouldn't stop you from working towards your promise. The problems shouldn't stop you from getting to the promise. But sometimes we forget that we have to go through the wilderness. God often brings difficulties. He often brings experiences our way so that we can know our weaknesses, so that we can know just how frail we are, so we can see the limitations of our strength. And God can show us that though you are weak, yet I am strong. You may not be strong enough to handle it, but I am, if you turn it over to me and let me carry the load for you. Let me show you how it's done. We are not ready quite yet to behold the majesty and the power and the awesomeness that we are, that comes with God in his fullness in heaven, but he will give us a glimpse of it here on earth. But sometimes we got to go through the bitter waters to get to that. Sometimes we have to go through the wilderness before we can truly see God in the pillar of light. Look at what the Bible says in verse 22. It says, then Moses made Israel set out the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. Now, that part is important. It may not seem like it's that important, but it is, because it tells us a lot of what we need to know. It says that if we are ever going to go from bitterness to blessedness, there's something that has to take place. You see, in chapter 14, the people of God just received the greatest miracle of God. They received God's salvation. The Red Sea is a picture of sin, and it's a picture of death, and it's a picture of people that are passing from death into life. But notice that before they can get to the fullness of, before they can get to the final destination, before they can get to the final resting place, so to speak, they have to go through the wilderness. In a few minutes, we'll talk about that, but I want to take us a trip back in time. We're going to go back, way back, back in the time. There was a song that started off like that years ago. But don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. My singing days are over. They never started, but they're over. In the book of Genesis, we're going to go all the way back to the book of beginnings. Genesis means beginning. In the book of Genesis, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. And he created a wonderful place. He created this garden. In Genesis 1 and 2, the earth is a beautiful garden. It's this beautiful place. And then he put two human beings. He put Adam and Eve, and he put animals, and he made all of this beauty happen. And then something else happened in the midst of the beauty. Something else happened in the midst of the garden. Humanity, you and I, decided that we would rebel against God. We said that we rather try things our way and try instead of doing things God's way. You know, Burger King had a commercial way back in the day. It says, you know, you can have it your way. Well, we as humans took that to heart. We wanted things our way. Humanity did what it was forbidden not to do, which is eat of the fruit of the garden. And when they took that forbidden fruit, when they wandered into sin, the garden was replaced with the wilderness. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of the beauty, and they were placed immediately into the wilderness. And then wilderness experience is what we've been going through. And it's always been a part of our life. Sometimes it seems like it's a little bit thicker wilderness, but it's always been a part of our life. But it was never a part of God's plan. You see what I'm saying? Wilderness may be a part of your life, but it was never a part of God's plan, not his original plan. Something happened, and that something that happened was sin. This world is not the way that God intended it to be. God never intended to have a coronavirus. Sin caused the fall. And because of the fall, there is now death reigning in life. Now, no one particular sin has caused this wilderness experience, but sin in and of itself is the cause. You see, the world is not placed on its axis correctly, in a sense that we are not doing God's will fully. We never can because we are sinners from birth. The world that we live in is not the world as God made it. But from Genesis 3 until Revelation chapter 20, what we have is God getting everything back in order. From Genesis 1 and 2, we have a beautiful paradise. We have a beautiful picture of earth. And it says that heaven and earth are united as one. But then when you get to Revelation 21, will we get a new heaven and a new earth? Because Genesis 3 happened. And from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, God is putting everything back the way it's supposed to be. Because in Genesis 3 is where sin happened. Now, sin created this division between us and God. Before sin, Adam and God walked hand in hand. Before sin, humanity and God had sweet communion. Adam walked together. They talked together. Adam and God, they were one. They were united. They enjoyed a closeness. But Adam also enjoyed a closeness with his wife, Eve. It says that they saw each other as they were. They were naked. There was no barriers between them. They saw each other fully, completely. But then sin happened. And then sin created this restriction. Sin created this social distancing. Now we got to be 6 feet apart. Now we got to put on clothes. We can't let people see who we really are. First thing Adam and Eve did was they saw each other's nakedness. I see Adam truly in all of his flaws. I don't like him. I see Eve the way that she really is. I don't like her. And then they looked at themselves and they say, oh my goodness, I can see her just like she can see me. Let me cover up. Let me go hide myself. So they hid from each other. But then as we look, God says, Adam, where are you? Why? Because they hid from God. And Adam answers God. He says, Lord, I hid from you. Why? Why did you hide from the Lord, Adam? Because of my sin, because of my shame. You see, we want to do things our way. And there are many of us who are still hiding today. We don't want people to know who we really are. We don't really want God to know who we really are. We're hiding from God as well. You see, what we want is to do things our way. But that's the thing, right? We can't. Our way gets us into trouble. When we try and do things the way that we want to do things, it never works. It never works out right. It always leads to trouble. It always ends up in a mess. It always ends up messy. And that's just in the book of Genesis. Can you imagine what goes on in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy? I mean, it's just one big mess that we made of ourselves. But that's where Exodus chapter 15 comes in, you see. In Exodus chapter 15, we get to the good part of God. We get to see that God is good. We see that God is a loving Father. We see that He won't leave us in our sins. He won't leave us in our sins forever. But He will save us. He will rescue us. God will deliver us. He will take us across on dry land. He will bring us through the waters. And He will wash us clean as snow. But right after He brings us through the waters in chapter 14, we come to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, we get right back to bitterness. We get right back to the miry muck that God saved us from. And we question God. Israelites question God. Lord, You saved us. You rescued us from bondage. But now all of a sudden we're questioning, where are You taking us? Where are we going, Lord? I don't know if I can trust Your lead. Where are You taking me? Listen, after deliverance comes that dreadful discipleship. In discipleship, God is revealing Himself to us, and He's showing us who He is, but more importantly, He's showing us who we are. We are seeing God, and God is seeing us. We are shedding our clothing before God. We are getting back to the nakedness. We are getting back to the trueness. We are getting back to no longer hiding from God, and it scares us. And it makes us wonder if this is truly the best for us. But let me tell you, it is. Because in discipleship, God is making us like Christ. He is transforming us into the image of His Son. He is saying that if you would just trust Me, if you would just rely on Me, if you will follow My lead, I've led you this far so far. I led you to this good place. I led you to a good part of life. Let Me lead you further. Just trust Me a little bit more, and I will lead you to the promised land. I will lead you into the image of My Son. Just trust in Me. But that means we have to trust and we have to not forget. We're not forgetting the blessings that God has already blessed us with. We cannot forget that God has already accomplished so much for us. You see, the people of Israel forgot who God was. They forgot who was the king. They forgot who brought them out. They forgot who defeated their enemies. They forgot who God was in their life. And we must not do that. We must not forget about the deliverance, the miracles that God has brought in our life. We must not forget that God is in absolute control. That God is still on the throne. We go through so many things. We have so many blessings. And we forget that God is in control. That's why so many people are over at Sam's Club buying water. They forget that they live in a country where you can drink from the faucet. because they forgot the blessing that God has provided for them. They forgot that God is the one who is controlling the universe, and they think that his leading is bringing them destruction because they don't want to remain bare before him. They don't want to truly follow his lead. They forgot that God is the master of life. He is the king of both the good times, and yes, he is also king during the bad times. Let's get back to our Bible reading. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 24, it says, "And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" In this verse, we have a lot of what's going on today as well. As we look at ourselves, a lot, I tend to see myself in this. I see myself questioning God a lot when it comes to my own bitterness, when it comes to my own doubt, when it comes to my own struggles. I tend to want to blame God. Lord, what have you done? Why did you bring me here? Why am I here? I don't want to be here. This is El Monte. I'd rather be in Beverly Hills somewhere. Why couldn't I not pastor a church in Beverly Hills? Because El Monte is where God's people lie. El Monte is where God said that you will be here to trust in me and to show how I can be faithful to even you in this wilderness. Not saying that El Monte is a bad place. I actually think it's a pretty good place. But I'm just saying that we can always look and think that the other side is better. We can always look and think that the grass is greener on someone else's lawn, even though we have the same gardener. We can always look and think that our situation is as bad can get. But if we remember that we can drink from the faucet, if we remember the blessing that God has given us, then we will remember the God who brought us there. And we have a wonderful God. We have a glorious God. Because even in the bitterness, even in our, even when we're blaming him, he is still faithful to us. Look at what it says in verse 25. Look at the wonderful God we have. In verse 25, it says, "And he, Moses, cried to the Lord, and the Lord shows him a log." And he says, "There is a log, throw it into the water." And he says, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Think about the beauty of that. The people of God are crying out, "Where is our help coming? Where is our salvation coming?" And God says, "It's coming on a log, on an old, rugged cross." And if you look at that cross and bring that cross into your situation, let the cross come into your life and watch your life turn from bitterness to sweetness. If you just look to the cross and look to the Christ that is on the cross, then you will see that the water isn't that bad. It's actually pretty good. It's a sweet tasting water. It's not bitterness that you're looking at, but blessedness if you look at the cross of Christ in the midst of your storm. If you trust in God in the desert, you will see that the desert isn't barren, but the desert is full of the blessing that God has for you. Look to the cross. God says, "There's a tree there, and that tree has your healing on it. That tree has your salvation on it." When it comes to the waters of bitterness, if you look at the tree, if you look at the cross, then you will see your healer. You will see the God who heals you. Turn to Jesus and turn to him during your time. Turn to him during the tough times. Turn to him when you don't feel like it. If you don't feel like praising him, fake it till you make it. Praise him anyway. Just pretend like you are at anywhere else. Like you're at the school, you're pretending to do your homework, pretend to praise God. And guess what? Eventually, your pretending turns into reality and you start saying, you know what? I can actually clap my hands for Jesus. You know what? I can actually say thank you, Lord, because I am no longer pretending because now I see you. I see who you are in my life and I know that you see me. And guess what? You still love me. You still love me, warts and all. You know all of my flaws. You know who I am, but yet you still died for me. How awesome is God that he knows you, but he still wants you. He loves you, and he wants to be with you, but he wants you to trust him. He's saying, just believe in me, trust in me, and watch me walk you through this. Watch me take you to the promised land. Let us pray. Father God, no matter how bad the circumstances, no matter how bitter our experience, your love knows no bounds. For you were bruised for our iniquities. You were crushed for our transgressions. Our peace was resting upon your shoulders. And as the scripture says, by your stripes, we are healed. There is healing in your blood. There is safety in your arms. Father, help us to live out fully and drink completely from the blessed waters of Christ. For you are our Savior, the living water. And in you we shall be healed. Amen.